25 minutes to go before, or rather 26 minutes to go before we get to 9 o'clock. Let's go to Sean Nell, who is the director at Eaton. Let me get that right. He's the director of Eaton Advisory. And we're obviously talking about something that's quite interesting and very sort of topical at the moment. And that is the African Energy Indaba that will be kicking off pretty soon. I think the most obvious and important question to ask. Good evening, Sean, and thank you for joining us. Are we the best people to be hosting an Energy Indaba here in Sandton at the Sandton Convention Center from the 19th to the 20th of February, considering the current state of affairs?
Yeah, one would think it's a little ironic, but I think what the Energy Indaba does, given the situation we are, is clarify some of the challenges that people will have to overcome both across Africa and at a small scale in their suburbs. So, you know, I think it's a timely intervention and a reminder that that energy is crucial to the economy.
Very true, actually. And obviously, with such an indaba, what part of the idea is and what part of the thinking is to explore new ideas, new opportunities, and to see what you know, what is in the broader energy landscape, I presume. Is that the case? And what is the aim and the idea of bringing all of these various people together? And as I read out the list, I don't know if you heard, but early on I read out the list of some of the top attendees. Of course, Minister Jeff Khadebe, Minister of Energy, the Minister of Energy from Ghana. I see that there's Amadou Hot, I presume that's how you pronounce his surname, Hot, from the African Development Bank, from Cote d'Ivoire, someone from Switzerland, from the World Energy Council, etc., etc. These are big names. I take it that this is an opportunity to take energy and anything energy related a step further.
Well, I think the biggest challenge we have, particularly given our situation in South Africa, is we forget that in the rest of the world, people are moving towards a more distributed energy structure. And what the Africa Energy Indaba allows people to do is bring together people who are looking to fund energy projects, people are looking to invest in energy projects, people who are looking to develop energy projects, and not necessarily the large-scale utility that we're used to in South Africa, but more distributed networks, more renewable energy focus. And I think what it does do is it creates an opportunity for dialogue across Africa and across countries to say, well, what are the lessons we're learning? What have we learned? How can we leapfrog some of the lessons that South Africa are now finding themselves stuck with in other areas? So it is a fantastic opportunity to hear thought leaders in energy, to hear people who have solutions to energy problems, to hear input from funders about the impact on carbon and renewable energy and how that's going to be shaping the energy landscape across Africa into the future. So I think it's something which you'll see it has significant value to not only people who are heavily involved in the industry, but there's even an expo center where individuals at the moment who are concerned about load shedding can pop in and look at solutions.
And part of what, and this is for me a massive concern and issue. I mean, apart from the fact that we're obviously undergoing serious challenges with our own energy supply at the moment, Sean, I think the obvious question is also, are there sustainable long-term interventions and discussions happening as well? Because, you know, it's all well and fine for us to be able to strike deals and have conversations about being able to solve the energy crisis that we're sitting with at the moment. The key question is, are we able to look at green, cleaner forms of energy? Is that part of the discussion, and are these actually viable? Because all too often we get told that in as much as it's, you know, all of us want to go green with solar and wind power and so forth and hydroelectrical power, the problem is that it's darn expensive.
Well, I think that's a critically important thing that we have to address, and hopefully the dialogue will convince people that if we look at where the prices for renewable energy are going, they are significantly declining to a point now where, as an individual, it's cheaper to invest in solar energy than to use it from municipal tariffs. So what this does is it creates an opportunity through dialogue to dispel a lot of these urban myths that have developed around the energy sector. Because the reality is the opportunity that renewable energy unlocks, both from a carbon neutral future and a climate change impact, is that before there used to be, let's call it a tax. There was a renewable energy tax because it was so expensive. But that has declined. If we see how the prices have declined over the last 10 years and are continuing to decline, including battery technologies, we really do have an opportunity to make a difference.
Because obviously, you know, as I said, it's the current situation that we have in terms of energy. It's not just in South Africa, but it's also across the rest of the continent. It's obviously also looking at the sustainable future that we require. Is this Indaba going to cover that? And what else can we expect coming out of this Indaba? And I think also towards the end of our conversation, one thing that we need to explore is who is, you know, who is able to come to this particular Indaba? I mean, could I literally rock up on the first day and say, you know, I'd like to participate or I'd like to attend? Is that the case, or is this a closed off meeting?
Yeah. So I mean, the purpose is that Indaba is that there are multiple streams, and I think that's the important thing. It isn't just a single engagement with development banks and large scale utilities. There are a number of streams that appeal to different people: renewable energy, baseload energy, addressing energy poverty in Africa, bringing together the World Economic Forum's drive to address energy access across Africa, affordability aspects. So there are a number of streams which are addressed. So it's not a Davos which is elitist and closed off. There is opportunity. So, you know, there are two major portions. There is a portion which is the big expo where people can go and visit, and it showcases all the suppliers and manufacturers and installers of different renewable energy types and energy efficiency, and people can walk around and explore that and engage and discuss some of the issues or concerns with those suppliers and come away with a good idea. If anyone wants to attend the talks or some of the key streams, they can register and get a ticket at the gate, so it's not closed. So it does create opportunities for those that are interested in how energy is being shaped across Africa to participate in those dialogues.
Oh, for sure. And it's definitely something that's worthwhile, and I think something that really needs a specific focus. Just one of the things that I'd like to hear from you, and I mean, obviously it's a bit difficult for you in the position that you're in, Sean. I mean, what are some of the things that you would like to see happening? What are some of the outcomes that you would like to see emerging out of this energy summit?
What I would like to see primarily is there are a lot of South African energy companies that have learned the lessons out of our crisis. Mm. In other words, we've cut our teeth on a crisis in Bam. And I think they have a lot to offer solutions to the rest of Africa. And that's critically important because, one, we can start exporting our expertise. Two, we can help develop Africa. And three, we can help Africa avoid some of the challenges that we now find ourselves in. So there's a really good opportunity for South African companies to create connections with their international counterparts across Africa, and ink some deals and create some economic opportunity.
As a final point, I mean, locally for us, and this is obviously what I also see talking about our, you know, travels, especially north of the Limpopo. You would know this very well. South Africa has a very strong presence from a business perspective throughout the continent. And then we're great at solving many of the problems that we have throughout the continent. But all too often, I think to myself that, well, it would be great that we, obviously, we talk about economies of scale. South Africa is a far more developed economy in a lot of instances. We have, you know, a lot of fundamental infrastructure that we're introducing into other African countries through our businesses are things that have been long-standing in South Africa. But is there also a possibility for those very same South African companies and businesses to be able to invest their expertise and skills locally?
Yeah, definitely. And I think particularly in the power sector, because, you know, when mobile telephony started, everyone was like, geez, the amount of infrastructure you're going to have to build and lines. And what we're seeing is that you can actually overcome some of those issues through innovation. And I think particularly in the power sector now, African companies are have an opportunity to leapfrog some of that old infrastructure backlog that other African countries don't have, but we are stuck with here in South Africa, to create really innovative solutions for delivering energy access across Africa.
100%. Look, Mini, it was an interesting conversation, and I really look forward to see what are some of the outcomes coming out of this particular discussion, or sets of discussions, because obviously it's a summit, so which means that we're going to have a whole range of people giving inputs. It would definitely be great to do a follow up, whether it be on this show or any other show after that, Sean. Thank you so much. All the best to you, mate.
Good night.
Cheers, man. That was Sean Nell. He is the director of Eaton Advisory. Up next, a conversation I'm definitely looking forward to with Paulie van Wyk.